Hi, I'm David.
I'm Amelia.
And this is The Thought Experiment. So today, Amelia, I wanted to talk about what does science do? How does it do it ethically? Is science for ethical ends? Is science for learning about the world? How do we know these things?
Those are big questions.
Yeah,
I mean... Did you start with what is science for?
Yeah.
To understand things, I think, is my main answer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that...
So do you think science does help us understand things?
Yes.
How do you know?
What? I mean, that's sort of the goal. I'm confused. Where are you going with this?
Well, there's like a strain in academia of the last 80 years, kind of postmodernism, but it's a lot more complicated than that, is they had a very legitimate reaction to the state of science in like early 20th century in America and Europe, where it was like reigned supreme as the ultimate source of knowledge. And there was a lot of like pseudoscience and race science and things that were done that a lot of people, you know, Nazi science, whatever, things that all of us today would be like, that's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people came and criticized it, and they were like, well, hold on. Science isn't always an objective arbiter of truth. It can be affected by society. It can be affected by culture.
This is a different question than I thought we were going.
Does science actually help us understand something, or is it just a tool of oppression?
Okay. Wow.
I don't agree with these things, but I think that they had legitimate, like, it was good that people like this came around. Do you agree?
I mean, probably. Like, eugenics isn't great, but, like, I think that there's a difference between critiquing a direction in which science has gone and like science with a kind of lack of evidence in favor of certain like policy changes or whatever versus like the concept of studying the world. And when you say science, I think of the latter. Like the idea of like studying the world with an agreed upon understanding of like
and how do you get the truth. Way to do it.
I think science is the way to get the empirical truths you're looking for. Like, I think there's also the philosophical domain, but I think within, I mean, again, I'm taking the term very loosely. Like, science to me means, like,
an understanding
of, like, logic and application of statistics to arrive at, like, the most probable explanations for things.
Okay.
And, yeah, I think
and
that's
how you
arrive
at truth.
And
that doesn't mean there's no area of things other than, like, first principles than talking about things like that, because that's something that science can't really
touch. I think there is a separate area which can be touched by things like philosophy or pure logic. Like pure math, I would say, is not a science, but it doesn't mean it's not arriving at something, you know, within system true.
Very careful there.
Very careful.
Science
is also within system, I would argue. Like, you are taking plenty of assumptions, but you're starting assumptions. You know, we agree upon the idea of, like, what kind of statistical significance do you need to get to, like, make your theory the most probable, and then we kind of take that theory and work with it. That doesn't mean it can't be, like, incorrect sometimes in the sense that, like, people can do it wrong. Like, you can have a misunderstanding. I mean, with a lot of the racial stuff, right? Like, you see... At that time, you measure differences and you attribute it to, like, something, like, you know, native in that category of person, like, native in race, when in reality it should be something attributed to, like, a social category or, like, you know, social disadvantage. Like, you can be incorrect about your hypotheses and conclusions, but science itself, I would say, is a greater or broader thing than that.
Yeah. Okay, I agree. So you would say that largely the problems were... maybe the social treatment of science, but also just that the science was bad.
Yeah. Like, you can be wrong.
Yeah.
You can be bad at science or have, like, bad hypotheses.
So these might be, not exactly about science with a capital S, but more about particular ways that we think about science and the ways it's done.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is kind of, I mean, I don't know if non-controversial is fair, but I guess non-controversial in, like,
it is quite controversial.
Circles.
Like, a lot of sorry. Like, a lot of people who are like, I'm not particularly bought into, like, a world ideology or a political or ethical ideology of, like, one day the world will be communist or one day blah, 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 something like that. Or the goal is to democratize all of society. But a lot of people who are, like, more goal-oriented kind of see facts as secondary. And so they would put science... You're, like, laughing, but there's a lot of people. Like, this was, like, the big problem of, like...
Yeah, no, I mean, I've
why the Holocaust
some of
happened
these arguments,
and why,
right?
In my opinion. Obviously, there's a ton of historical factors.
Well, I mean, a lot of the people are... You mean like responding to the Holocaust or...
I mean like the kind of worrying things where like the biggest bad things that have ever happened in society. I mean, maybe not colonization or things like that. Those have separate reasons. But like the big modernist ideologies of like Stalinism and Nazism, I think came out of some... basically use of facts as a means to an end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where, like, you start from communism is going to happen, or you start from Jews are the inferior race, and then you put your truth institutions to work.
Yeah, yeah, and there's the misapplication of facts, and I think there's the response after that, where people say, well, the problem is the concept of science being supreme, rather than what I perceive to be the problem is, like, an incorrect usage of supposedly scientific means.
So do you think putting aside... by the way, I totally agree with you. Do you think that putting philosophy or things like maybe primitive things, math, I'm not calling math primitive, but you know what I mean, aside, do you think that science is like the supreme way to know things?
Supreme way to know things. I mean,
well, you just said
supreme. Such a weird phrasing.
You said it's not.
I mean, yeah, it is the way to know things that we can have.
The best way.
Yeah, we can have an agreed upon metric to like understand the world through means that kind of from our philosophical principles seem the most legitimate, yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm trying to, we always have to devil's advocate because I think
have to devil's advocate this. Honestly, when we said like we're going to do an ethics, this is not where I pictured that going.
Really? Where'd you
picture
it going?
Like I thought we were going to talk about just like a little bit more of like what does that actually mean in neuroscience? How do you study the brain and all its complexity?
Oh, I want to get there as well.
Okay.
I just wanted to start.
This seems
from
I'm surprised by the detour. I'm not mad at it. I'm just surprised
because it's kind of like we're starting from the broader, like if you're going to care about ethics and science at all, you have to first say like, what is science? What is it supposed to do?
Okay.
Because there are people
like,
who
what is
say,
the end of science?
Yeah.
And, like my answer is truth.
Okay.
Or, like, achieving kind of I should caveat that more. But, like, achieving what we've agreed upon to be scientific truth.
Okay.
Better understanding of the world, yeah.
Yeah. I think that the people who are, like, science is fully a normative thing or science is fully, like, a tool would say that no matter what, we're never getting at a real truth. We're just getting at what you said. It's a socially agreed upon thing.
I mean, I think it is an agreed upon thing, but I think that is still a valid goal. Like, I mean, we've been over this before. Like, both of us think that everything is, in some ways, just kind of like an agreed upon truth. Like, that may not necessarily
I don't
be.
I know. I got to think about this more. Maybe I'll come back next episode, like a full objectivist.
Maybe you will. I actually existence. Wouldn't be surprised. But, like, okay, at least
it seems contrarian enough that I might like it. You know?
That is how you pick your beliefs.
But I'm also very skeptical.
Yeah, well, I think that's the point that, like, we're both very skeptical people. It makes sense to be skeptical of these things, but it doesn't mean it's, like, an invalid pursuit. Like, everything
right.
I'm doing with my life is, like, posited on certain axioms I don't know to be true.
I feel like
I still
we
think it's worthwhile.
We could say, I feel like there's logical arguments to make based on the simplicity of science and maybe Occam's razor things, that it's, like, just the way of doing science seems to be the best way we have of gaining knowledge, just the same way that I would argue that democracy seems to be the best method we have of, like, organizing people politically.
Interesting. I mean, I have like, no... Well, okay, yeah.
I mean, those are, like, practical arguments, I guess.
Yeah, they're a little practical, but I feel like it's not really fully the point. We've done a lot of principles to axioms kind of things. I think that's fair to say that, like, yeah, I think science gets at the interesting questions. Are you talking, like, so the alternatives that you see to this are, like, that ethical thing, like, the end of science is ethics, what do you see as alternative ends? Because this seems to me like a very intuitive end of science, like, understanding.
Yeah, there are people who would say that people who are not concerned with finding out what's true, there are people who are concerned in, like, with wielding power. Or things like that.
Or improving lives, if you want to be charitable about your framing. Like, I do think there are some people that, like, see the end of science as, like, improving human life.
Yeah.
So it's, like, the better you understand, especially things like neuroscience, right? Like, because we have a lot of problems with the brain, with, you know, neurodegenerative diseases, with whatever. And people can sometimes see the end as, like, almost medical or, like, ethical. Like, understand it better so that you can improve human life.
Yeah.
And
that's a really good...
Yeah. To be clear,
Steel Man.
Yeah. I mean, I see nothing wrong with that view. It's not what I have. But if that's the end that you... Like, it's kind of
the trouble is what you're assuming is that you're saying that they will do good science, where good science is, like, trying to be truthful. The problem is when people...
Okay, for the idea that good science is trying to be truthful is sort of from my view, not from that one.
So would you say...
Good science to them, like, is trying to be effective.
Let's make this practical. Like, would you be concerned if one of your coworkers had the view that science was entirely normative for, let's say, bringing about a communist utopia, and they weren't particularly concerned with, like, whether their data was accurate or not? Or whether their theories are true.
I think that, whether...
Like, you would say at that point, that's not science, right? Whether their theories are true
is concerning. Like, yes. But I think there are ways to have a different end and still care about truth. Like, if your end is improving human life, you 100% care that your theories are true, because you're not going to best improve human life if you're not actually understanding things.
Right. So this is something we would have to establish. But I agree with you that when it might even be necessary, or at least it's sufficient, when you talk about true things, that will lead you to, like...
Yeah. I think for it to be science, you need to, like, want your hypothesis. You need to be trying to match your hypotheses to reality, or try to match your, like, understanding to reality. Whether you are doing that in service of an ethical goal, like improving human life, or in service of just having the right theories.
Right. Like, that's more like, at that point, I think you've gotten the important part of science.
Yes. Now. Yeah. I guess I
should have been more clear from the beginning, because I think that most people's intuitive definitions of science includes that truth alignment.
Mm-hmm.
But other people might, if you start by, like, not thinking truth is a thing.
Yeah. Well, we can still have agreed upon metrics for it, right? Like, do I think that...
Yeah, but they would say, well, I'm just going to make my own because I don't agree with what the oppressive class of people...
Yeah, sure. Like, I would disagree with that if you're trying to, like, change the agreed upon understanding of what, like...
I mean, that's what a lot of people want to do. That's, like, the American dream, you know? They want to be the underdog that comes in and be like... Or, like, what an average physicist, you know, undergrad wants to do is they were like, oh, I want to bring the one set of concepts that'll change the entire theory of the universe and link together quantum gravity.
Like, getting rid of, like,
stuff.
The fundamental ways in which we do science, though, is kind of different. Because, like, to me, that, like, what that would mean practically, like, to give a very, like, arbitrary, dumb example is, like, we take as certain metrics certain levels of statistical significance, right? And, like, we can kind of call something probabilistic truth once you've achieved it.
And they're arbitrary, right? Like, we just said 0.05.
Like, they're a bit arbitrary, p-value. But, like...
We could have said 0.049 or something.
It's just, like, how much certainty do you need, right? Because in the domain of empirical science, you're not doing logical proof. Like, you're not proving something wrong. Really, you are rejecting the null. You are saying it is improbable enough that we're going to assume it's false.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that is our agreed upon metric for how we understand truth. If you have a different metric, like, what you are doing is no longer science. Like, you can come up with something. You could even just set a different, like, a completely unintuitive threshold where actually if you prove something that something is more probable, you reject it, right? Like, you could do that, and that's a change of the, like, category I think you're talking about, but I would just say that what you're doing at that point is no longer science. Like, you're not abiding by your agreed upon understanding of truth.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. But where the social and cultural things come in is one, like, how do you formulate a scientific theory? At the end of it, you're going to have to, like, talk about things in the world. And the things in the world come mm-hmm. from a language, which is given to you from a culture. Right?
Yes, I think there's...
Or do you think that our languages accurately reflect what's in the world?
No. I mean, I think the classic response to this in some ways, which I don't think is, like, deeply problematic, is just, like, yeah, there are always going to be biases in these things, but the methods that we have added are, like, trying to, you know, ascertain truth regardless of that, and maybe our theories themselves, our hypotheses might be biased, and this could negatively affect science, but because the long-term procedure itself is, like, rigorous and statistical, we will eventually arrive at something close to truth. And,
yeah, you're saying this exasperatedly, but I think that's probably the best argument, is look at history. Like, our science has gotten better.
Yes, sure. History is not bad. You bring a lot of... of history.
It's kind
of
important to know what happened, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Okay, so that's science. Do we want to talk now about, like, the practical...
Well, there was one other thing I wanted to say on this. Because I think in your view, a lot of what I worry about would just, like, not qualify as real science, or it'd be bad science.
Like what?
Because my worries about science are when it's used... Science is used as an authority to do something wrong or to prove something wrong.
Prove something
so ethically like, so like, wrong, which I'd say it's hard if whether it's hard to get into that. But
so, are you saying,
for instance, like let's say the Nazi scientists say like we've scientifically looked at Jewish brains and we're like they're evil or they're horrible and we need to kill them.
Right, in that case, they have failed at science, though, because like their theories aren't matching reality and they haven't ascertained them via the best means
and
possible.
So you're saying that it's not that there's no way we would know and it's not all socially relative. We could get scientists from now to go and do their experiments and they would find some flaws and be able to say you were actually wrong.
Oh, we couldn't get scientists now to do Nazi experiments, my God. But I think that like when you talk about beliefs around that time period that are kind of eugenics beliefs which associate certain traits with certain races.
This is the biggest thing that like stimulates any science kind of
So there are kind of two problems. One is that like the research itself might not be the best, but I think the more important thing is that like they failed to account for alternative hypotheses. I think that's what anyone would say, that like you can have the hypothesis that there is, I mean, I'm not necessarily talking about some specific Nazi research here, but just like racial cognitive nativism in that period. Like the biggest critique is they failed to account for the alternative hypothesis that because we societally treat different races differently and they have different access to resources, therefore there is a difference in performance on IQ tests or whatever study you're bringing up. And like we have seen since then, of course, that seems to be the primary explanation. Once you give people like the same resources, they do a lot better. Like, you know, I think it's just a failure to account for alternative hypotheses, which is in itself bad science.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think that, I'm trying to see if we could give a satisfying answer to someone who believes this, where it's like, I think they would worry, about whether science is being done, like, again, for what science is being done. Is it being done for the good? And I would say that if you do good science, like science right, science by good methods, skepticism, pluralistic institutions that are from a variety of places that all check each other, that's the best we have. And I believe that with that and with good structures around it, whatever, like that would lead to the best outcome.
Yeah, and I think the good structures around it are partially
that's
like
and that's what we'll
I feel like
next.
There's a lot of blame being put on science as a concept when it's like science to justify policy, and really it's policy that's the question here. Like
I mean one last little steel man would be a lot of people make this argument, which maybe not the strongest. Like let's say society is full of injustice. And let's say you're someone where you're like, well, I don't really care about injustice, you know. I'm just going to be silent. I'm just going to learn my science, be objective. I'm not going to get involved. Like, are you doing something wrong?
Oh, like, is going into science as opposed to... I mean, that applies to anything,
not
though,
so
right?
much that...
Like, going into anything as opposed to activism.
Yeah, I guess it does kind of apply to everything. That's not...
Yeah,
that's why that argument is kind of
bullshit.
You've
got to pick what you're
going to
do. I mean, at a certain point, it becomes the like...
I mean, you hear that a lot.
Could you be spending all of your time perfectly, right? Like, could
Silence
you be giving away all of your money to everyone? Could you be working in every field perfectly? Could you be doing everything right?
Yeah.
And, like, nobody in society is doing everything
You should be
right.
giving your kidney away.
Yeah. Well, it's like the effect of altruism arguments, basically, right? Like... Could you...
You work yourself into a hole the more you think about it. Like, you're always committing moral wrongs no matter what you...
Yeah, maybe we should do an EA episode, actually, at some point.
I'd love to. I was thinking
about
I think
effective altruism is interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well...
This is not what I thought we were going to be talking about when you said ethics episode. I thought we were going to be, like, Stanford prison experiments, animal research.
Now let's get into the practical of, like, what actually has happened and what what's important. So let's talk about how we agree that... There's some kind of idealized science that science should strive to be. But let's now think about ethics. Like, does it matter to you that science is ethical?
I mean, yes, I would prefer not to be doing horrible things.
Okay. And it probably is good for the world, too. Like, it's not like, and there needs to be active effort in that you can't just leave science alone because scientists...
Leave science alone. I mean... There are a ton of restrictions, right?
Like theoretically, to generate the most science, the scientific most knowledge science. About, well, maybe there's a utilitarian argument here. Okay, naive David argument says, well, the best way to learn about brains would be to, like, harvest a ton of brains and start, like, producing brain farms.
Here's the that, thing like, about this:
kill humans instantly when their brain is developed at a certain point.
Here's the thing about this: a dead brain isn't actually that interesting to study.
Okay, like, sorry. So torturing them alive and studying their brains.
Sure, but this is just like a misconception some people have that like I feel like a lot of people ask like, what if you just like cut out the brain and like looked at it like that? It's not doing anything. Like I mean, there are people who could probably find something interesting to do with that, but I just feel like the interesting part of the brain is what it's doing when you're thinking, not just like.
The point of what I said is that we do have boundaries on science.
Yeah, we don't want to be killing people. That's a good point.
Where like, it might be better for science just of like amounts of knowledge and data, but it would infringe on people's lives.
Yes,
and rights.
Yeah, there is a trade-off there, especially when it comes to like the higher level neuroscience, because you want to understand phenomena and like behaviors that like maybe exist primarily just in humans or maybe just in primates, and. The question of how you actually do that is somewhat difficult. And so, like, for some things that are kind of, we want to understand humans, you can't just cut into someone's brain, just like, hey, come over here, cut, like, let me do this. So there is a restriction. A lot of the, like, actual recording of, like, multiple neurons done on human brains are, like, in patients that need to have that done anyway. Like, epileptic patients often have, like, surgically implanted recordings so that they can figure out how to, like, best treat the epilepsy. And... oftentimes, like, a lot of the recording...
Awfully convenient, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is one of those things that happens to be convenient. There are, like, a few kinds of things. Or
maybe
somebody
it would
needs...
be good for science for there to be more epileptics in the world.
I mean, that's an interesting moral argument that I do think you could flesh out if you wanted to. I don't know if we do. But, like, yeah, there are situations like that where people do need it for a medical reason. And then, you know, a neuroscientist is like, what if we also recorded? Because you're doing it anyway. Like, what if we also gave you some tasks?
Right.
And that's
no
where
harm,
a lot
no
of the
foul.
Actual... Yeah, and it's kind of is. It's you know, they...
And I'm sure a lot of the patients are, like, happy to contribute to science.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you have to have this anyway for medical reasons. Or, like, people who need, like brain-machine interfacing work is very interesting. You are providing a medical service and studying a medical service, but at the same time, you are getting interesting data about, like, the motor system or how that works. Mm-hmm. I know we did our brain-machine interfacing episode, but, yeah, like, that's another example of where you are both getting, like, data for the sake of better understanding the phenomenon and helping someone. So there's a mutually beneficial component. And in general, like, you don't do it unless there's that. Like, you don't just take somebody
right.
and cut into their brain for no reason.
So... how much do we learn from, like, cadavers who donate their brains when it's...
Like, I know this was a much bigger thing in, like, earlier periods. I feel like this isn't as... I don't
like,
know.
What is
like,
what does donating your body for
it?
Science, like, help science with?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't work in domains where, like, that would be relevant. I don't know if neuroscience is using cadavers that often.
It's there's still lots of blind spots and things where they can learn more just by, like... if they had a lot of fresh brains to cut into.
I mean, honestly,
or do you
like,
think it's, like, pretty set? I mean, neuroscience is not that old.
What do you mean, pretty set?
Like, I don't know, some basic anatomy and theories about
like,
the brain.
There are some projects, I don't know.
Rare things, rare conditions.
So, yeah, there's probably some rare conditions if you want to look at, like, somebody who's
had a weird...
Or,
like, understanding autism and autistic brains, I feel like that would...
I don't know if cutting into the brain is the best way to do that.
It's
like,
possible.
Because what you're talking about is very, like, behavioral.
Yeah.
I know that in some... I don't know of anything like this in humans, but I know that there are some animals which they're trying to, like, have some instances of completely mapping out, like, where everything is. And that needs to be done with a brain that has been, like, cut into and, like, put on slides or whatever. Actually, I don't really understand that deeply. I don't understand what they're doing. I shouldn't have said that. But I know there are some efforts to do that. I don't know of any for, like, the whole human brain. And... Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe this is a little bit my bias, but I just don't think that's where the most interesting stuff is. Like, people like to present that as a sort of, like, ethical question. I just don't think that's where the cool stuff is. The cool stuff is in, like, people who are still alive and thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think most people would have issue with, like, people who donate their bodies and you studying their dead bodies. Like,
yeah.
Dead.
Well, I assumed you were going to push forward into the, like, well, what if we just killed someone for it? Or, like...
Oh, no, I guess... Yeah. I mean, you already brought this up, but it would be like the sticking them in a torture device that cuts their brain.
Torture device. I just don't think that that's like actually going to have that much scientific benefit. Like,
if there was a way to go into surgery to help neuroscience and be totally like the same person with a healed brain at the end, like then that wouldn't be the issue. The issue
well,
is that
no,
it causes
that
harm.
Kind of is. It causes risk, right? Like any surgery is risky. You don't want to give that to somebody unless they need it. right?
Definitely.
So, like, something that's going to be a surgical procedure, especially one that is, like, you know, cutting into your head, like, that's a high risk of infection.
Like, we would learn a lot by, like, infecting people with random diseases, but we don't do that. Even if, like, there's a high likelihood of them being fine, we typically don't do that unless there's a good reason, like a vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the extreme things aren't actually where the most benefit would be. I think it would be, like,
if there was some way for
brain surgery to be, like, more safe somehow or, like, completely, like, absolutely no ill effects,
yeah,
then that is something that would, like implanting something to record.
Do you think that should be, like, a focus of neuroscience? Because isn't a big problem just, like,
we're doing a lot
of animal studies, which, you know, there's people who have issues with that, too, which we could talk about.
But, like, I think that you're kind of right. Like, we're not – I don't know that we're advanced enough that, like, pure human is necessary. Like, it kind of depends what you study. But, like, you can study a lot of phenomena we still don't understand in animals right now. And as I mentioned, these aren't, like, crazy surgeries. Like, they're not – I mean, we do similar things, right, for those patients that actually need them. But – yeah, I mean, you can study a lot with animals. I think that my ideal, like, for humans, I think one of the big issues is, like, not just consent, but, like, what is fair compensation? So you see this a lot, like, when you talk about studies in contexts where the compensation can't be, like, fair for what's happening. So prison.
This is where we need, like, a econ student.
Yeah, well, we can gloss over it a lot.
I didn't even think about this part.
Well, like, so the example that's given and has had, like, a lot of problems with coercion is, like, prison. Yeah. Because the economy within a prison system is very different. If you offer the amount of money that you would offer to somebody outside of prison to participate in a study, that amount of money means a lot more in prison, right? Yeah. And you have a quite literally captive population. This is why there are a ton of restrictions on what kinds of studies you can do.
I hope so.
I mean, especially after, like, Tuskegee. Like, there have been a lot of restrictions on this, and as there should be. But I think when you start to talk about things that are risky in any way, you need to think about compensation if you're talking about human subject research. Because, like, how do you make it such that – like, I bet if you said, I want to do this not actually that dangerous, but it is, you know, has infection risk brain surgery, and I'm offering you – $50,000. Like, people would take that.
Yeah, you're talking about, like, the preying on vulnerable people.
Well, probably. I'm talking about, I think there are some things where the way we have our society structured, I mean, this is going to become kind of a political point, but, like, the way where our society is structured, you can't offer an amount of money that would be reasonable compensation because people are going to have to take it. Like, if you can't afford, like, rent, if you can't afford food, if you can't afford to, like, get medicine for yourself or your kids or whatever, like, there is an amount that you just kind of can't say no to regarding risk. And I think this becomes a problem when talking about, like, any risky or any vulnerable population research or just, like, a lot of human subject research, to be honest. Like, it's hard because
on the other side, you can also make the argument that, like, hey, don't deprive – like, people talk about this with, like, sex work.
Deprive people of the opportunity.
Where it's like, oh, they're degrading their body. It's like, well, you're making that moral projection onto them, and it might provide this person who has very little opportunity a way to make a lot of money.
Yeah, there is this weird thing where it's like we have a lot of restrictions in place to make sure you are doing your best to not take advantage of populations that really need this money, but – there is the fact that if you offer certain compensation, some people will always want to take it. And it makes the science worse, too, right? Especially if it's something psychological, like with self-report, like people might answer something that they think is going to keep them in the study. Like, you know, they're in a study where
they're not paid by the hour.
I mean, some of them are.
Jeez.
Then
it's like you got to be a good employee. You know, you got to keep your spot in the study.
Yeah, like some people will self-report like, oh, yeah, I totally match this, or like I don't have this problem. I can totally be in the study. Like, so when we think about the problem with this incentive structure, I think it's a problem that you don't want to be taking advantage of people. It's a problem that you don't want people to have an incentive to not be, like, honest when participating in these studies. I mean, ideally, your study design doesn't require as much honesty, but it is still a problem. And then I think when we talk about this, it's not just research, right? Like, this is a much broader problem that, like, how do you – you brought up the example of, like, sex work. Like, how do you create – like, ultimately it comes down to, like, we have a society in which people need money more than they should sometimes, and that messes things up. I guess this isn't, that interesting of a science take. It's just sort of my take on, human subject research and compensation. There are a lot of restrictions, and I think probably on balance they are mostly good. They are for, people's own protection. But it's a weird kind of sidestep to a problem that actually has to do with, how much people need money.
Yeah, well, the root of the problem is that you can make an argument for pretty much any economic exchange that there's some kind of coercion there, where it's well, at the end of the day, why do you need money? It comes down to some basic need or psychological need.
And we've kind of set a threshold within our legal restrictions on human subject research that maybe makes sense, maybe doesn't. I'm not expert enough to give strong opinions on that, but
I wonder if there's interesting cases nowadays, or I wonder if we could take a little antagonistic approach of I remember reading that in George Bush era, when there was a lot of talk of cloning, the U.S. government, which I'm not sure if this is still around, but did specific bans on kinds of research of I think bans on human animal hybrid research and things like cloning in humans, because that's against the Bible or something. I don't know what the justification was. Also, I will fact check this in case I'm lying. I think I may have
gotten this from a YouTube video. You're getting at the general, there are a lot of arguments against certain types of research for reasons that seem religious or don't play God. I think gene editing is one we also talk about a lot with this.
Right.
Let's not do gene. Are we playing God with this?
Playing God, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is another kind of fundamentally hard thing where it's I can totally see both sides of an argument for gene editing, in particular if you're talking about eugenics, but in terms of say you're trying to cure a disorder, where it's people who have that disorder and who are living good coping lives are going to all be hey, you're eradicating people like us. That's some kind of cultural apocalypse. Whereas on the other hand, it's you're just choosing to curse. If you had the gene editing technology, you are choosing to give this child a disorder in life, or something that we would call a disorder. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
that's just one of those things that feels so.
With that, I think there are two separate things. One is the playing God thing. And to be honest, I don't like this argument. I think play God all you want. Have fun.
I'm a playing God person.
I am a playing God person. So,
glad we have that.
I think go for it. When it comes to that particular issue and which things should we be changing, which should we not, what biases are going to come in, there is no perfect solution. I just think that the only thing that is important to me is that I feel there probably should not be a overarching, a kind of general rule about it. The hospital's going to change it if you have this. That's, as long as it's not deeply quality of life threatening, you're not going to live a good life.
There's also the rich people getting access to it before poor people or something.
Well, yeah. I mean, we could make this whole episode about the problems with our entire social economy and whatever.
It shouldn't be nothing, because then it's hold on, there's probably really easy curable diseases where we could give kids a better life. But on the other hand, it's probably shouldn't be going to full eye color alternation in order that people with blue eyes will have an easier life. When you're on that level, we would agree that diversity is good. It's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, a big thing, there are two. One is you want to create a society in which there aren't problems where there need not be problems. And so some, I think that there are various arguments for certain things that are currently an impediment need not be. That's a social impediment, not an impediment in your own existence. And, examples of things bias in society leads whatever eye color to have whatever benefit. That becomes a problem. And then I think there's also the point that this need not be a general decision. It need not be every child with exactly this genetic makeup should be altered. It could just be let the parents choose.
Well,
right?
It's easy for you to say that, but it's kind of abortion, where if you're on the side that it's an inherent evil, then you're never going to be okay with saying just let the mother decide.
Yeah, well, I think I'm just not on the side that it's an inherent evil. Then.
Well, there you go.
I think it's sort of fine.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are points where it becomes a problem, and we can set restrictions.
And I get why people are scared, because there have been eugenic things that have been used for very evil. So I think it's fair why people are super biased against it, but it also might help a lot of people. So.
Yeah, I think it would help a lot of people. I also think there's just a lot of interest in understanding genetics better, and there's a lot of efficacy. I mean, some of the most important applications are not necessarily within human gene editing right now, but within like gene editing to like produce insulin or whatever, like just not within humans.
So you're going to deprive someone of the feeling of being a person without insulin?
What?
I'm just saying, like,
do you mean a dead person? Because that's what that is.
Yeah.
No, but that's not human. Well, like it's like in bacteria or whatever. I don't actually know exactly the specifics, but like the ability to like produce insulin from.
We'll source this.
From my recollection, I'll double check. But I think it's like it used to be made from like pigs or something, and now you can do gene editing to like produce it.
Oh.
Kind of like in a lab, basically.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll double check that. Something like that. I know there's like, you know, there are plenty of benefits. Or like, you know, crops, right? Like, everyone's super like, I mean, the buzzword is just like anti-GMO, but like GMOs have been great for.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on the plain God stuff. It comes from a very deep like technology and wielding nature is doing something wrong and there's a way the world should be. And if my baby is born with a horrible thing that'll kill them in like 4 years, then so be it. That's what God.
Yeah, and I just disagree with that. And like, and obviously, it's your own choice. If you
Even
are a parent,
people, like, okay, well, super religious people, maybe like someone who denies medical care now. But I feel like most people, when it comes down to it, are the same. Where like, when it comes to their life or their kid's life, they're gonna want to wield any tools they can.
Yeah. And obviously, there are areas that like you could reasonably say are gray areas and whatever. But like on principle, I think it's totally fine.
And there's lots of areas where like we're just okay with it. Like like observing Shabbat for someone who's observant Jewish, it's like there's just a lot of things where it's like, are you gonna like?
This isn't specifically about the life over anything thing, right? Like you might not turn on the light, but you're gonna plug in the life support if you need it. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
Gotta have your exceptions built in.
Yeah.
Anyway, do we want to talk more about like specifically neuroscience? We kind of got into CRISPR. Mm-hmm. My favorite yogurt.
What?
It's like made from yogurt.
What? What?
I'm pretty sure the bacteria involved in CRISPR are like related to yogurt in some way.
Okay.
Yogurt strains. I might be wrong.
Okay.
This is from my middle school unit on CRISPR, which we did.
Okay.
Maybe we're gonna have to do a little bit more sourcing this episode. All there right. was also once a guy who injected himself with CRISPR in his own leg. Do you know that guy?
I've heard of people trying to do gene editing at home.
Didn't work so well. Don't try this at home.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, I mean, I think these are common issues. The human subject research is the one that's kind of neuroscience pertinent. I mean, not all human subject research is neuro research, but, like, you know, psychology especially is pretty, you know.
I know there's, like, ethics institutions for psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Is there similar things for neuro?
When you say ethics institutions,
like, I'm pretty sure.
What are you referring to?
Like in psychology, like there's like standards of ethics that are determined.
Yes, there are standards of ethics in all forms of research.
Okay.
But like, every type of research you're doing has standards of ethics.
Or do they come from some like publishers?
So there are laws. There are laws. And institutions are going to have institutional review boards, IRBs.
Yep.
Basically, to do any research, you have to kind of, like, abide by those laws, have it checked over by the IRB, have a lot of people who, like, understand these laws be like, yeah, check. You're allowed to do this research.
So much big government in my research.
I mean, yes, your research is all research is pretty highly regulated. Like, you have
to... Even math research?
Okay, I don't know about math. But...
Definitely science, though. And especially science, where it's
and
like...
And anything involving people, especially, but also anything involving animals, like... anything involving like most things, like you're working with chemicals that could potentially be dangerous. Like everyone has to get checked.
Yeah, it's a good thing that we have boundaries. Otherwise,
there are a ton of boundaries. You always have to get checked. Like make sure you're following everything. You're not exploitative. You're being very like fair and ethical to your subjects, whether that's human or animal. Like there are a ton of regulations. Of course there are.
Come on, you'll have a better life. Just let us cut through your brain a little bit. We'll give you some money.
Yes, that is what you are not allowed to do. Yeah, I think... We've covered the human stuff.
Yep.
I wanted to know, I think the other big area is like animal research. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about that. Do you have any questions you wanted about that area of things?
Animal research, right. Or
questions like in a moral sense. I don't know if we want to go into like the legal stuff. I don't think we do. But like,
no.
Well,
it just comes down to whether you like have a moral consideration for animals.
I don't know that that's true at all. I mean, I think doing animal research, you still absolutely have moral concern for animals. You do your best to, like, treat them as well as you can, right?
But I think at the end of the day, like, if you eat animals, I don't think you could say that someone abusing an animal is, like, doing something wrong. Unless they're saying that means that they're, like, psychologically messed up in other ways. Like, but just
you've heard my claims on this before. I mean, I think that...
Like, the problem with cutting up in someone's brain is because you're doing harm
Let me respond to, like, the many things here. So, one thing is that, yes, I agree that if you eat animals, it is pretty hard to say that, like, using animals for beneficial research that's going to save lives is bad, even if they're not, like, in perfect... Like, you know, it's... For an animal, it would probably be preferable to be living in the wild than living in a scientific situation. However, even if you are, like, super vegan, love animal rights, like, even in those particular cases, you can still really get behind a lot of animal research because it's kind of – it's still good. It's still useful.
Yeah, there's probably, like, a utilitarian argument.
The research that is done will end up advancing science in such a way that will result in lives being saved. Like,
but just to be
human
clear,
lives
you can make
and
this,
animal lives. These
you can
lives
make the
will be
same
saved.
Argument for, like, doing a lot of bad things to people then. Like raising people in cages and doing science experiments on them.
I mean, yeah, I think if you're really going to try to force people to draw exact lines, you do have to, like, not consider animals to be on the exact same status as humans.
Yes.
And
like, not give them fundamental freedom, rights, things like that.
I think that you can still have some rights or freedom and just not have the, like, entire extent to humans. The only thing that I agree, like, I agree to the line that it can't be the exact same as humans. Otherwise, you would treat them the exact same as humans, and we don't. But I think that you can still think that animals are deserving of certain forms of rights. You can still think that animals, like, should never be eaten, should never whatever, because that's not worth it. But think that, like, the research that is going to save, like, thousands and thousands of lives, human and animal, is worth it.
Yeah, I think you could, but then they wouldn't come at it from, like, a rights angle. They would be coming at it from, like, a consequentialist thing.
Yeah, no, yeah, you do have to have some amount of consequentialist in there.
Yeah, but then
fair
I totally see what
fair
you're saying.
Fair enough. And I think there's also, even within animal research, there's a lot of, like, you know, you want to have it as, you know, ethical as it can be. Like, you don't want them to have bad lives.
Of course. I don't think there's, like... Or I'd hope, you know, if any scientist is showing some signs of abuse, that that is indicative of many issues with them and not just like that.
Well, yeah. And also, like I said, there are a ton of regulations, so you're not going to be able to do anything. I think that there is some fair claim in that, like, you would want it to be even better, right? Like, you know, the funding is limited for environment that animals might be living in. You might want to make that even better. You might want to improve it. And I think that those are valid claims, but I think that, like...
Even for the science, it's better for...
Yeah, it's better for the science, it's better for the animals, it's better for everyone. So, I mean, improvement within system, I think that it's very hard to find an argument unless you're claiming that animals are 100% the exact same as people and I don't care about, like, the future. I don't care how many people, like, are not saved from this disease. I don't care. You kind of have to get
behind. I don't think that they
would
say that they're the same, but there are people who say, because it's a conscious thing, it has the same inalienable human rights doctrine.
Right. But I think you have to make...
killing them was wrong.
Yeah, I think you have to make that extent of claim and also be very overtly non-consequentialist and think that it doesn't matter how many lives you would avoid.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter how many people are dying because you're not doing this.
Yeah, and
like,
I don't know how many people
Yeah, I think you have to get behind that level of claim in order to be against animal research as a concept.
Yes, I agree.
And, I mean, there are people who are.
Yep.
But I think that that's just, like, I mean, I think it's kind of fringe, right? Like, because many people have at least a shred of consequentialist in them. And if they do, then you have to kind of acknowledge, like,
this is
saving.
Very few people are ever either fully rules-based.
Yeah,
or fully.
I feel like a lot of people with animal research is more the, like, I support it in theory, but I want it to be even better to the animals. And, like, I kind of understand that. Like, always try to improve it, you know?
Yeah, it's tough because we don't... with animals, they're like the ultimate, it's kind of similar to abortion stuff where like it would be like the ultimate innocent babe that can never consent and can never
the thing
do
is
any
like
of these things.
The animals are doing tasks for reward, right? And if the reward isn't interesting enough to them, they won't do it. Like, and they're not going to die otherwise.
I mean, but imagine you said that sentence with replacing animal with human.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. It's okay. Not the same thing as consent, because I don't think, like, animals have the capacity to consent the same way humans do. But
I'm saying
all I'm
that's
saying
just
is,
a
like,
problem with it, where it's, like,
choose,
the ultimate...
if they choose to be non-cooperative, they're not going to be, like, forcibly made to do something. They're going to be incentivized to cooperate, which,
I mean,
like...
but they're imprisoned their whole lives. Like,
sure, like a pet is too.
Yeah, I think pets are
you
moral
incentivize.
Wrong.
Are you really yes. making that claim? You think pets are moral wrong?
I think it's pretty fucked up. Yeah.
Really?
Well, you can make arguments that they're domesticated now, and we can't do anything about that. Like,
but like you think having a pet and giving it like a good life is
yes.
Why?
I think it's kind of like keeping a human slave.
No, the pets are happy. Like, I mean, you're not. You're not.
Oh, the slaves are happy.
Okay, you're not forcing your cat to like work for you.
I think there's something there. But maybe this like maybe this isn't the best argument because you could say that for like anti-natalist things too.
No, I'm very interested in this because like it seems to me that
also,
like
I'm not that strong. I say moral wrong, like it gives me a bad taste in my to
really yeah. interesting. I assume you don't extend this to research because of the consequentialist thing.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, this is fair. But, like, for a pet, I mean, there's more argument for that than for research. But, like, I think a lot of pet owners, like, you get a sense of what makes your animal happy or not happy, right?
Yeah. Like, but there's just something there that feels like you are taking advantage of it. I don't know. There's something there that feels unfair.
But I think most people, when they get a pet, right, like, it is an animal that is otherwise in a shelter. The alternative tends to be either, like, death or a worse quality life.
Let's
you
say,
take in this animal.
Right, so I totally get all these practical arguments. Mm. Let's say the animals, either they go into the wild and have a normal nature life, which absolutely could be more suffering and, like, getting chased by things their whole life, or you get to keep them as your little entertainment device, like.
And so wait, do you think it's better for them to have a worse quality of life just, like, set free?
Yeah, I guess I kind of...
I feel like... Here's my thing. Like,
I kind of want them to have freedom.
My
That's
thing,
what feels unfair about it, is to keep
is
them on a leash.
Your, like, very high moral principle-esque argument about, like, the concept of freedom means nothing to an animal. Like, the animal doesn't care about your idealistic, like, speech about freedom.
I think if the animal comes to you, there's also something different there. If, like, an animal makes friends with you.
So your ideal version is just like a forest of cats and you just set out food and if one chooses you, then you're allowed to have it?
Because
that's still just incentivizing with reward.
And that's tough. Yeah, I think I'd say that I would not say like early on how these animals did get domesticated is like they roamed in packs or whatever and then they would meet up with, at least as far as I know, in my vague Wikipedia scrolling on like domestication of dogs is like they helped us because
yeah
and we helped them and yeah. that's like chill that's like I mean that's like the ultimate symbiotic thing
yeah and then they have kids
maybe my argument is more practical of like the whole institution of like choosing your right breed that you want
I mean like breeders are different than like pets as concept
yeah
not to mention
I don't think
that
there's
many versions
having...
of pets like just couldn't survive in the wild these days.
Right. I don't think there's something wrong with having a companion that's an animal. I think, yeah, maybe there's something deeper about the dynamics of pet ownership, which just rubbed me the wrong way. I think it's like choosing something that had no choice and it has to live with you and it sits in a like New York apartment all day and doesn't get to live its life.
Well, I feel like what you're imagining is only a subset of pet ownership and not a very good subset. Like a good animal owner is bringing their animal outside, giving them enrichment, making sure, you know, all that shit.
But, again, I do eat meat, so at the end of the day,
that
it's
is
like,
also
you
weird
can
to
do
me.
What you
like,
want.
I don't understand how you can consider pets bad, but you're fine with them, like, right. in farms being killed.
I don't consider it, like, a moral... I guess I did say it's a moral wrong.
You did.
Like, I'm saying I
You
would...
just, like, get the ick from it.
Yes.
Okay, but it's not necessarily moral wrong.
But that's kind of what I think morals are, too, to some extent.
But, I mean, okay, so then your morals are very malleable, because if I just, like, show you that, whatever,
yes,
factory
I'm a
farming
I'm a
videos.
Malleable, confused person. I don't think anyone listening to this would think otherwise. I haven't, like, figured out my philosophy on the world. Like,
okay,
you.
Okay. I think that I'm not sure you should make the moral claim. It's something that you find icky, yeah. In the same way that you might feel icky about eating a burger if I'm showing you videos of cows in a factory farming situation while you're eating it.
Yeah, like it might be okay. that the icky feeling comes from an anthropomorphic projection of me onto the animal where I'm like, God, if I was an animal and then like some heckin' chonker-loving suburban family picked me up and I had to live in their house for my entire life and fatten up on kibble until I die instead of like what an animal really wants to do is live what an animal, do what an animal wants to do is like hunt shit. Or for cats and dogs.
Right. I mean, I think that a good... Like, I feel like we're conflating a couple things.
Maybe I'm talking about playing God, too.
I think you're conflating a couple things. One being, good animal ownership versus bad animal ownership. Like, yeah, if you're overfeeding your cat and keeping it cooped up in a tiny apartment, like, maybe that's not great.
I know, but then this would... My analogy would be like, okay, you can be a good slave owner and give them a really good life or even a salary.
You bring this up. I think this is not only, incredibly controversial and also just, wrong because those are people, that's a human being that actually might care about your arguments about freedom and can survive on their own in society to the same exact equivalent that you can. Your cat can't survive in society to the same equivalent that you can.
Yes, but it's possible it's conscious.
Even if it is conscious, I don't think you can make the claim that it's the same kind of consciousness. Like, your cat does not have the same
fundamental thing, but it's missing a lot of
complexity. I feel like there's... you are picturing yourself as a cat with an inner monologue that's very David-esque, that's like, no, God, like, I hate this. That's just not what
I can see it as being
are.
Some kind of experience without... Like, I don't think animals
Yeah, and I think
thoughts.
An experience in which they are expressing behaviorally pleasure and comfort and, purring and enjoying it and keep coming back and, seem fulfilled, and the best vet knowledge that we have is saying that they are fulfilled. This is as fulfilling a life as it gets for a cat. Like, that's probably sufficient for their consciousness. The reason you can't equate that to slavery is that they're actual people who can communicate their consciousness and have no reason to be in a position lesser.
Sure. I think that, you think animals have a reason to be in a position of serving us and making us happy?
It's not serving. It's a position lesser within human society. Yeah. They can't have a fucking job and pay taxes.
That would be pretty cool.
I mean, that would be cool.
Okay, last thing I wanted to say on this. I think I'm forgetting.
I don't know. We've had a kind of a long animal rights tangent, but I found this really interesting.
Yeah, okay. I think the problem with...
Did you grow up with pets? I'm just curious.
One dog, yeah.
Do you feel it was a...
She was quite a bitch, wrong? I will say. She was... I think that... She, a better life for her would have been. I mean, she was a rescue, so.
Yeah.
Okay. I think she was actually abused by her previous owners.
Oh, wow.
So I also feel bad for her.
Okay.
Obviously, that's a separate thing.
Yeah.
I think what bothers me about
pets. I do similarly find icky the, pick out a pet from a breeder kind of thing.
Like, we can can say that the bad pet owners are obviously icky. But I'd say even the good ones, I think that.
I don't know if it's
maybe
fair
I believe
to call
in some
bad.
Kind of, weird. Teleology.
Okay.
Teleology of animals, where a cat's life should be a cat's life, and in some way a human intervention in that feels
But the human life is not the ancestral primal human life either.
I know.
And I feel this maybe warrants it that we keep going on this maybe warrants its own conversation at a later point, but the whole state of nature superiority, go back to something primal, I don't buy that.
What?
The idea that it's better to be as you were in the wilderness.
Oh, I don't believe that.
But that's kind of what you're saying for the pet.
Right. Maybe the pet would feel more me and it'd be actually, I want a toilet.
It's the equivalent. Yeah, exactly. It's the equivalent of a cushy desk job.
I guess it. I know, but then it's the fact that they don't have a choice.
But I mean.
You know?
Yeah. Animals can't make choices.
So that's just a lot of things which make you feel bad about animals. It's yes, we're taking care of them. Yes, we're giving them these amenities. But, what would make me feel good is if I could ask the animal, hey, do you want me to release you? If you want, I can get you a girl, get you a family, send you off to Nebraska.
This is a little bit of a devil's advocate point, and maybe not that interesting one, but you can make the argument people don't have that much of a choice either. In our modern society, someone who's working, their cushy, non-primal desk job and has an okay life can't just, decide to go live off the grid.
They absolutely can't decide to go.
No,
totally
they kind of can't. Need to pay taxes. You need to do it.
No, they don't
actually
need to.
Very
if you want
difficult.
To leave our state, you can absolutely leave America.
Right, but it's difficult. It requires money to, just go fuck off in nowhere. It requires life skills that this person doesn't have. Okay, you could not. If I dropped you in a forest right now in the middle of nowhere, you would die.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I can choose to do that.
There's skills that you. I mean.
What are you saying? Obviously,
you can
always choose to
leave society.
Like,
you would totally get rescued, though. And an animal can manage to run away from you. Often they can. Many of them choose not to, a dog off leash or whatever. Yep. They could just sprint away and then probably die. And just like we would if a human did that, we'd try to rescue them.
Yeah, of course we would.
I feel like, I mean, there are some parallels there. I don't think that, like,
yeah,
it's,
there
kind,
are
of,
some
it's kind of like a modern human with no survival skills living in a cushy job where they're, like, not making enough money to go fuck off to the middle of nowhere with ease.
I see your argument. Just, so you're just, saying that yeah. in that way, we're also kind of trapped?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, I mean, animals can't communicate, and I agree that that, like, poses.
But no,
some
I think my.
To it, but.
You're misunderstanding what I'm finding the fundamental thing is that the animals don't have, like, a free will thing. And we it feels like we do.
You think they don't have free will?
An animal, no.
Well, then, isn't that better? Like, doesn't that make it less of a problem?
I mean, in the yeah, I mean, that's why I think this whole thing is kind of a crapshoot. Is because I was only saying, hypothetically, if I could ask the animal, would you rather stay here or go somewhere else? Like, if you want, you can leave. Mm-hmm. Then I would have no issue with pet ownership if they, like, agree at
okay.
some point to, like, be the pet.
I just think that, like, science...
Same way I don't have an issue of people doing, like, consensual, non-consensual sex. Like, it's
sure.
like, you can do whatever you want.
I think then that, like, the metric that we use as a rule of thumb is, like, does the animal actually show signs of being happy? Right?
Yeah.
Like, and, like, because they can't speak language, and so that's the best we can get.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm like...
That's a surprising
Well, thing. The ultimate thing to do... is, like, we don't know in animals. Like, the same thing with abortion. It's, like, if there was a world where we could somehow ensure all the women's rights and all the good things we want that from the pro-choice side of abortion, but also, like, not ever have to make the choice of whether to kill something or not, that would give us, like, the most likely moral innocence, you know?
Yes,
same
it would be
thing.
Great if the world had no moral dilemmas ever. That would be
yeah.
cool. All right, we've gone on a very long tangent about pets, which I think was very interesting.
Well, I wanted one little thing on you were like incredulous about this. People can obviously leave society. First off, people kill themselves all the time.
Okay, yes.
Second off,
your animal could if they really wanted to. Jump out the window or some shit.
Yeah.
They could find a way.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe I could get on board for fully ethical pet ownership. It's like treating your pet well. Mm-hmm. And they are like free roaming. So if they want, they can just leave. Then honestly, I might be totally on board. Yeah.
I feel like sometimes it's impractical.
But
you do
have to agree that people can leave society.
Yeah.
Like, of course,
we
have
institutions
that,
like,
in
the
place.
Difficulty, like, so technically can animals often.
Yeah.
I don't know if free roaming... There are other problems with free roaming, like impact on, like, local, like, populations
yes.
or whatever. But, like...
Well, it's also, like, a lot of... In America, we, like, had big projects of spaying and neutering. And,
yeah.
like, if you go to other countries, you'll see dogs and cats everywhere.
Yeah,
if you go,
yeah.
And I think it's kind of a good thing that we don't have that. Like, it's a little nasty. But... And probably some health issues.
Yeah.
I think that cats... like, decimate bird populations
yeah,
and fuck
yeah,
up
yeah.
ecosystems.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, this was a really interesting... We are getting close
yes.
to, like, our required time now. but this was a very interesting... I did not expect you to have those pet takes. That was an interesting conversation.
I think it always starts with, like, a stronger claim than I actually believe.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's what makes it interesting.
That's how you find out
yeah.
what you truly believe.
Oh, yeah. And so we've determined that animal research is better than that. Pets are maybe a question in
yes.
our mind.
Yes, animal research.
Your mind.
But there's always ways to improve. I hope that...
Yeah,
always
ways to improve that, we, you know...
And in
yeah.
human research, I hope... I feel like something important would be innovating neuro... like. Less invasive ways to learn about the brain, basically.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
That seems like not just important for, like, oh, it would be so nice and cushy and ethical. It's like we would learn so much more.
Yes, absolutely. And I actually,
but obviously, it's a really hard problem.
It's a hard, yeah, it's very hard. And then another thing, I didn't bring this up, and I'll just mention it briefly. But I think modeling is a big one. Like,
yeah.
and we've talked a little bit before about, like, using AI, like neural networks, as models of the brain, and, like, that means.
I thought
that
we
you,
almost wouldn't mention AI this episode.
We always have to mention AI. That, like, that is a way where, like, maybe you still have to cross-check that with real data, human or animal, but that gives you a way to, like, you need fewer animals, right? Like, because you can just sort of cross-check what's happening in a few and then use your model for, like, much more things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
so that's
you gotta
a way
be careful
to make
with
a lot
that,
more ethical.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I'm saying you do still have to, like, kind of cross-check.
But it would be a nice,
like
intermediary.
Yeah, modeling gives you kind of a reduction in need, like, of quantity for other data.
Yeah. Cool. I think one big thing that AIs are not good at now is, like, yeah, generating good, useful new data, like people say interpolation versus extrapolation.
So not using AI to do hypotheses, but using a neural net.
I know, I'm saying something different.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's one thing where I wish it would be better. It's like if we had a way to, instead of always looking directly at our like most basic experiments about the world, if we had a way to generate things which just like weren't just good at like matching what we already know, they were actually good at future prediction or
abstract. There are all kinds
that would give us crazy powers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we are hitting our time limit. I think we've had a very interesting conversation about this. It went in directions I was not expecting, but I think we're very cool. Yeah, so thank you for listening.
Yep, let us know if you have any comments or anything.
Or arguments.
Yeah.
We love those.
Complaints, criticisms.
Yeah.
Grievances. Okay, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.